Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joined right now for a monthly conversation with the director of minor league operations, Paul Krueger. And Paul, I want to start with some guys who are with the big club, Pete Fairbanks and Joe Palumbo, both guys who have come up through the Rangers system, not just guys who were acquired in a trade and then joined in AAA and then progressed. These are guys who were drafted and developed by the Rangers. Success stories, I'm sure, for the minor league system. I guess let's start with Joe Palumbo. How exciting is it to see him continue to progress as a 30th round pick and possibly be in a position to make big contributions to the Rangers this year and beyond?
Oh, it's extremely exciting. I think it's kudos and credit goes out to everybody that's been with the Rangers here for the last, you know, seven years. Big thing too, like, I want to give a shout out to our rehab department with Keith Comstock and Sean Fields and the work that they did combined with Joe's efforts. I mean, it's been a crazy rise from when we first saw him in a adult men's league there in the Northeast to pitching in front of 40,000 there in Arlington. It's a pretty cool thing. But, you know, Joe's a guy that, you know, stuff's continued to tick up day in, day out from his season. And now he's got, you know, three above average pitches in our mind with his fastball, his curveball, and his changeup. And I think as he gets more comfortable there in the big leagues, and really as he continues to come back from Tommy John, and I think that's the thing we always forget about is a lot of times you look and you're like, well, he had Tommy John a year and a half ago. He should be ready to go. And usually we like to say it's that second to that third years where you see the big rises and those big improvements through those Tommy John guys. So as we get through this second half of this season and into next season, in our opinion, we're going to see Joe continue to develop and continue to improve. And I think that's scary for the rest of the league, just the way that he started in his first good outing and just the stuff that he has. If he can tick up just a little bit more, we got a chance to have a pretty special left-handed arm.
Paul, with Pete Fairbanks, when you guys were talking in spring training about where you were going to place guys to start the season, you know, I know that in your mind, some guys, they're probably going to stay at that level the whole year. Other guys are likely, with health and good performance, to move up. When you placed Pete Fairbanks in A-ball to start the year, did you have any idea that in mid-June, early June, he would be a major leaguer? Or did that even surprise you guys? As excited as you might have been about his development and what he was doing, was his ascent as quickly as it happened a little bit of a surprise?
Oh, it was a shock, let's be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. I actually expected him to be up there in April. No, I'm kidding. I think, you know, the Peter Fairbanks story is it's tremendous. It's a guy who, you know, is coming off his second Tommy John and really hasn't pitched in a competitive game in close to 2 years. And here he is moving up the system in three levels, three minor league levels up to the big leagues and continued to show that dominant stuff that he has. I think the crazy thing about Tommy John and surgery, especially your second one, you really never know what to expect. And I think a lot of times the publicity leans towards your stuff's going to tick up and, you know, everything's going to get better because your ligaments improve, so on and so forth. And that's not necessarily the case. And what we tell all our guys here in rehab, and Pete took the hardest, it's the work you put in. And this guy absolutely killed his rehab program down here in Arizona. Obviously, knowing that it was his second one, knowing that, you know what, let's be honest, it's the chances of recovering from a second Tommy John aren't great. And he got after it, attacked it, and look here, his fastball's ticked up, you know, 3 to 4 miles an hour from pre-Tommy John. He's now got a wipeout breaking ball that, you know, we've all seen in the big leagues over the last couple of weeks, and it's just exciting. I think the big thing for us, and I know the staff up there with Woody and Julio and Oscar, it's going to be how do we manage his innings? How do we manage his workload so that we can get the most out of him in 2019, but also as we look forward to 2020 and beyond? Because, you know, this is a special arm that you don't see every day, especially you don't see coming back from not pitching in 2 years. But it's an exciting guy. He's a fiery kid, as you guys may have seen on TV. And, and followed there as you guys are calling the games on the radio. But we're excited about what he could be in the back end of a bullpen for many years.
All right, now, Paul, I want to go to that Down East team he was at one point a part of. I know that the primary goal and the various affiliates is to develop players, but in order to win games, you need good production, and you get good production because guys are playing well, and hopefully that means young guys are getting better. What Down East did in the first half, winning 50 games, was pretty remarkable. It's been an outstanding first half of the season for Down East. But again, I know it's not just, they didn't just show up and win games. There obviously were some success stories from an individual standpoint. But, how pumped are you guys about the work going on in Kinston, and what are some of the things that jump out to you?
Oh, it's a tremendous accomplishment to win 50 games. I mean, you think about it. You go 15-20 and you're 30 games over 500, 70 in. That's pretty incredible. And not to mention, it's the best record in minor league baseball at the halfway point. So we're extremely excited about that. And one thing we measured, and I think it's a good point to bring up, is a lot of times we look at, wins and losses don't matter. It's the development, so on and so forth. And that is 100% true. But I think a lot of it plays into winning. When you win, it's easier to do the early work. When you do the early work, it improves your performance on the field and allows you to develop at a quicker pace. So those things kind of play hand in hand. And one thing we really stressed this year, and we've seen a lot of success with it, and over a 700 winning clip throughout our minor league system, is scoring first. And, yeah, it's important to score first, and you can do the numbers and you can do everything in the big leagues too and see the success you have when scoring first. But we kind of changed the reason why we use that, and it's not to win. It's to prove that we're ready to go at 7 o'clock night in and night out. You might say, well, how does that prove? Well, in our eyes, if you're scoring first, you're prepared. Your first pitch, game on, everything you've done between the hours of 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock have prepared you for that first pitch of the game. And the likelihood that we are going to, and especially at that team in Down East, be more prepared for pitch one than the other team, in our eyes was 50 out of 70 times, if you want to go by wins or if you want to go by just overall preparedness because of the work that Corey Ragsdale and our entire staff are doing down there. It's 70 out of 70. And I think that plays into it. Everybody wants to win every game. Everybody wants to develop the ultimate major league player. But if you can combine the two, I think they work hand in hand. I think that's what we saw in Down East. And, I mean, you're going to see a couple of these names hopefully here in big league uniform shortly. And it's just a fun team to watch that gets after it in every sense of the word.
All right, two guys individually I really want to point out, guys who maybe got off to slow starts this year but have been coming on of late. The first is J.P. Martinez, Julio Pablo Martinez. What's been the key for him? I've tweeted about him. You can find this at Jared Sandler. It's also been in this space. We've discussed some of the numbers and the uptick. What have you guys seen from him from a developmental standpoint that's led to his success of late?
Well, first off, when he was in Hickory, he had a lot of success. He was able to really control the game and take the game to players, and that's what he does best. And then went up to Down East and struggled. Quite frankly, it's called spade to spade. Mightily there for the first couple of weeks, but I think the big thing for him was understanding the strike zone. This guy can do a lot of damage, and really his damage is when he focuses the left center field, stays on fastballs and drives them the other way, because he's a plus runner with average power, who can really go get it in the outfield. And I think once he started to understand that, once he started to understand the type of player he was, I think he really took off. But the big thing was shrinking his zone and really laying off that new famous pitch that everybody, we read about as the high fastball. And it's a pitch that, it's tough for hitters, especially for a lot of lefties who, their quote-unquote sweet spots are down in the zone. So when he was able to stay away from that pitch, lay off that high pitch, and then look to drive the ball left center field, and we always say if you're a little bit early, you're going to pull it and you're going to get a homer. If you time it up, you're going to go up the middle, and that's what he started to do a little bit more. So we're excited for the second half if he can really get going again. I mean, he's a guy that we could see potentially another uniform here shortly.
All right, now what about Shorten Apostle? This is a guy the Rangers got last year in a trade, the Keone Kella deal, I believe. I can't believe the guy's 20 years old. I mean, he stands out physically. another guy who got off to a slow start, and not to compare him to J.P. Martinez, but J.P. Martinez's uptick has been over the last few weeks. Sheridan Apostle's uptick has now been probably about like a 5 or 6 week deal. So what are you guys excited about with Sheridan?
Oh, I think there's a lot to be excited about. I think you're right, Jared. You look at this guy, he is a man. This is a big man who can move well, and a guy who we, you know, initially when we got him and put him into the player development system, we weren't sure if he was going to be able to stick at third base just because of his size. And, you know, our guys there, the strength conditioning department, Nappy Pichardo and the rest of our conditioning coaches have done a great job of maximizing his agilities, his mobility skills, and his just ability to move laterally and understand angles. And that's been a big part of him defensively. Now, offensively, he's a guy with plus power. He's a guy who can hit any ball out of the ballpark at any time. But what we were seeing is he was being so selective. He was only looking for his perfect pitch. And as you know, that pitcher's got the ball, and he's trying to make a living too. And he's not always going to put it in that sweet spot that you're looking for. So what we challenged him with is being more aggressive and being more aggressive on the fastball, because we know he can hit it, and the metrics show that he does a good job of not swinging and missing that pitch. But so instead of looking for our perfect pitch, maybe that's middle in, let's expand our zone just a little bit over the heart of the plate, and let's be aggressive. Let's understand, let's have confidence in we can hit any pitch any hard. And he was doing that, and I think it's you take that just that a little bit aggressive mindset and combine it with his little lackadaisical, I guess you could call it, and really confident attitude, you've got something. And I'm going to use this analogy I thought Matt Hagen, our Hickory manager, used very well. And it was like a Ferrari. Like, you don't drive a Ferrari in first gear. You don't, but also, you don't always go in fourth gear. Let's play in third gear. Let's cruise down that highway. Let's have a lot. Let's show off our Ferrari, but let's not burn it out. And that's kind of the mentality, and that's the message he gave to Sheridan. And since he did that, which was about 5, 6, 7 weeks ago, he's really taken off. So hope for big things in Sheridan. And again, another guy that we're counting on to have an impact in this organization for many years.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.